If it were not so, would I have told you that I will go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you would know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Those are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So as I mentioned last week, we are going to spend a couple weeks here in this section of John's Gospel as we head towards Pentecost on June 9th. And that's because this section in John is part of a larger section of John that's often called the Farewell Discourse. It's this section that is Jesus, it's his parting words to his disciples. And that's actually what chapters 13 through 17 of John are called and what they're about. That's five whole chapters. Now, John's entire gospel is 21 chapters long, so this is almost a good quarter of John's entire gospel account that is devoted to this farewell discourse, to Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure. That's a lot. And in these chapters, Jesus has a lot to say about a lot of different things. If you have one of those red-letter Bibles, you know, where the words of Jesus are all in red, when you look at chapters 13 through 17, it is pretty much all in red. And the immediate context here of what we just read was that it is the night of the Last Supper, right before Jesus is going to be arrested and taken from them. These are the words Jesus has for his disciples. He's washed his disciples' feet on that evening of the Last Supper. He's foretold his betrayal by Judas, and then he's given them that new commandment to love one another as he has loved them. At which point Peter says, "Wait, hang on a second. Jesus, where are you going?" And Jesus answers that where he is going, they cannot follow, but then says kind of cryptically, but later you will follow me. And so Peter, being Peter, he presses the point and he says, "Well, why can't I follow you now? In fact, I'd lay down my life for you, Jesus." To which Jesus, if you remember, says, "Really? Will you? Because actually, before the rooster crows later tonight, you're going to deny me three times." That's the immediate context of this passage that we just read. But the even larger context of it is Jesus preparing his disciples for that time when he is no longer going to be physically present with them. So Jesus has said he's going somewhere where he can't be followed right now. that he'll be taken away, and that even Peter, the one who was supposed to be the rock of the group, even Peter is going to deny him. And after all of that, then Jesus says, but do not let your hearts be troubled. Right? Jesus has just said that life is about to be turned upside down. Everything you thought you knew is going to be tossed aside. The power of Rome itself is going to be brought down upon him, and that's going to fill you with such fear and worry that you're going to deny everything you've been living for these past few years. And then Jesus, after all that, has the nerve to follow it up with, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because, Jesus says, because I am going to make a dwelling place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the place where I am going, Jesus says. And now, Thomas, can I just say for a second how much I love the disciples in this passage? Because now Thomas jumps in. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? What a great question. What's the plan, Jesus? We need specifics. We need coordinates. I need to be able to plug this into my GPS or at least have a map. How long a trip is it? You can imagine Thomas saying. How long a trip is it? Do I need to pack a lunch? What's the weather going to be like? Should I bring an umbrella? Do I need to dress up a little bit, or am I okay dressed like this? What's our itinerary? Jesus, I need to know what to expect. Can I say again how much I love the disciples in this passage? Because Thomas is my kind of traveling companion, because he gets it, right? He gets it. If we're going somewhere, we need a plan. We need to know what to expect so we can map everything out. And then there'll be nothing to worry about. And our hearts won't be troubled if we know everything that's going to happen. I don't know about you, but that is me. I am not the let's just jump into the car and drive, we'll figure it out later kind of person. My wife is laughing right now because she knows that's true. I am the double, triple, and quadruple check everything first kind of person. Otherwise, if we don't do that and you're traveling with me, you're going to have a very anxious traveling companion. But I am married to somebody who is not like that at all. When I had finished seminary and was searching for a church, the thought that kept looming in the back of my mind was, oh my, we could end up anywhere. And I have no idea what to expect. Anything could happen. Whereas Rachel was thinking, oh, wow, we could end up anywhere. And we have no idea what to expect. Just about anything could happen. Right? Now I'm not bringing this up to say that I am more like the biblical model of the disciples than she is. I am just saying that I totally get Thomas here. Where are you going, Jesus? And how can we know the way? I need the plan, Jesus. I need to know all the twists and turns of the route. I need to know everything to expect so that I can make sure that I have packed and prepared accordingly. And that is where Jesus says it. That verse that we pull out and we use over and over again to win theological debates. That verse that draws those lines so tight and proves who's right and who's wrong, who's in and who's out. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But here's the thing. These words of Jesus, as Jesus said them, they were not used as a threat to the disciples. of what might happen if they get something wrong, or given to them as ammunition so that they can go around winning theological arguments, or as words to be used to play on fear to get people in line. No, these are words given as a deep, deep assurance to a people who are struggling with fear, who are worried and wondering what the future holds. Maybe even beginning to anxiously doubt everything as so much of what they knew seems to be falling apart all around them on that night. How can I know where I'm supposed to be going? How can I know if I'm on the right path? How can I know if everything is going to be okay? Because you know what? So many times, I just have no idea where any of this is headed. Those are the words, those are the questions that these words are given as the answer to. The disciples ask, how can we know? And Jesus answers, here's how. I am the way. If you know me, you will know my Father also. In fact, beloved disciples, from now on you do know him. You have seen him. How can we know? They ask. Because, Jesus says, because you know me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the very life that you long for and indeed were made for, and you know me. Do you see the difference? The very words of Jesus that are so often used as a way to draw the circle narrower and narrower, they actually turn out to be words offering the most ever-widening circle of God's grace and invitation and assurance into life with him that we could ever imagine. You don't have to have it all figured out. Why? Because Jesus himself is the way. You don't have to have figured out all the right answers or formulate all the right thoughts. Why? Because Jesus himself is the truth. You don't have to have lived a perfect life or worry about if you've come close enough. Why? Because Jesus himself is the life. And Jesus has come. And Jesus has made himself known to us. To you and to me. Yes, Jesus is making a profound statement. I don't want that to get lost. He's making a profound statement about what is true and where to look to find God. But it is a statement of such profound assurance and promise that it invites us all not into the game of drawing the circle smaller and smaller, but in fact to see, first of all, it is God who draws the circle in Jesus Christ, not us. And second, we are invited into an ever-widening circle of the assurance of God's love and grace, and even into the very promise of his very life. If you want to know God, Jesus says, if you want to see God, just look. Here I am. God has already come to you. Not as a list of qualifications to check off, not as just a plan to follow, not just as a map to try to figure out yourself. No, the very destination itself. The very thing that you and I need and long for most of all has already come to you. And so here's where Philip jumps in. And I love Philip almost as much as Thomas. Because even after all of this, Philip, he wants some clarification to make absolutely sure he knows what's going on. Lord, show us the Father, then we will be satisfied. All right, Philip jumps in. That's great, Jesus, you being the way, the truth, and the life, and all that. But if I could just see God, then yeah, that would be enough for me. Then I'll be good. Then I'll be all set. Then my heart won't be troubled. And so Jesus, again, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Now, I have read this passage countless times over the years. And I used to read this part in one particular way. And that this was an exasperated response of a deeply annoyed Jesus to a group of disciples that still just can't seem to get what he's been saying through their thick skulls this whole time, right? Probably because that's how I would respond. Really, Philip? Really? You've been with me all this time and you still don't get it. What is wrong with you? Right? A question that is really a rebuke. But at some point, not too long ago, I started hearing this differently. Lord, show us the Father, and it will be enough. And Jesus says to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know me? No. Of course you know me. And here's the best part, Philip. Get this, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Philip, don't worry. You have already received. In me, you already have that very thing that will be enough for you. You know me, Philip, and so you know the Father. Don't worry, Philip. Do not let your heart be troubled, because you already have God. And God, Philip, God already has you. So know that your knowing me is enough. It is all that's required. You already have it. So be at peace. This whole conversation here, it comes in the midst of doubts and uncertainties. And Jesus is simply there, present with them, saying, in me, come what may, you have already been given all that you need. The entire conversation taking place in the midst of Jesus preparing his disciples for the time when they will no longer be able to see him and to touch him. And in that, this entire conversation is about one thing. It's about Jesus saying, no matter what, you can trust me. You can trust me. Not your theological arguments about me. Not your merit or ability to fight the good fight. Not those times you got it right or looked good in front of all the right or maybe even all the wrong people. Not even your understanding of everything that's going on, but me. Trust me, Jesus says. Why? Because God has shown up. God has shown up right here in our midst. We have a place in God's kingdom because the King has come to us and made himself known. Whether we're sure of the way or not, whether we are fumbling around with questions and doubts, fears and anxieties, counting the wins and losses of the day or not. I mean, those may matter, but not in the way that this matters. Because what matters deep down at the core of everything is that our true home, your true home, has already come to dwell with you. And so Jesus can say in the midst of all of this, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Maybe even a better translation, trust in God. Trust also in me. If I go to prepare a place for you, my work does not end because you can no longer see me. Because if I go, it is because I go to prepare a place and I will come and take you to myself. Where I am, you will also be. So one final thing here. That word that's used there. The dwelling places that Jesus talks about. It is the Greek word mone. It's a word that means not so much a mansion or a fancy room as it means simply a place to find rest and hospitality. It's a word that would be used for what some members at the time of a traveling caravan, some members of a traveling caravan that would be sent up ahead to prepare. so that when the rest of the caravan arrived for the night, camp had already been made, water gathered, and food prepared. This word mone, this dwelling place, it is less about a walled-off enclosure or a giant box to store yourself and all your stuff, and it is more about a place of rest and welcome and nourishment and hospitality along the way. At the summer camp where I worked during college, I once took a camp group on a two-day whitewater rafting trip in West Virginia on the New River. Not with me leading, but with a rafting company. We had the professional guides and everything like that. And the first day, we were in the rafts with our guides, and there was one raft that carried all the gear. Tents, clothes, the stoves, food, everything. And it was paddled by just one guide all by himself. And he went zipped on down the river on ahead of us. And so after a long day on the river, enjoying the white water and getting wet and in the sun and hot and tired and stinky and all of that, he had gone ahead so that when the day was over and we arrived far downstream to the place where we were going to be camping for the night on the river, that one guide had already arrived there, the tents were already set up, water had been gathered, the camp stoves were fired up, and dinner was already cooking. We arrived and found that one had already gone ahead of us and prepared this dwelling place for the night, this mone. This place of rest and nourishment, of hospitality and fellowship and welcome after a long, long day. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That's why he can say something as audacious right there in the middle of everything that's going on. He can say to his questioning, anxious, fearful, stumbling, and failing disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Because the good news is that this place of rest and assurance and promise, it is wherever Jesus is. And where he is, he says to his disciples, you are there as well, right there with him. And friends, listen, if where Jesus is, you also are, if that is his promise to you, then you know what else that means? That means that wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, Jesus has promised he will also be there, right there, in that place with you. Wherever it is, wherever you are, he will be there with you and also going on ahead of you to prepare another place of rest and welcome and promise at every step along the way. That means that when you are in your places of deepest doubt, Jesus is there with you. In your places of deepest worry, Jesus is there with you. In your places of deepest questions, Jesus is there with you. When you're trying to figure out your future and what to do after graduation, or even just what to do for the summer, Jesus is there with you. Excuse me. When you're trying to figure out your career or relationships or whatever it is, Jesus is right there with you. When you're worried that you've made the wrong choice and ended up where you don't think you should be, you know what? He is still there with you, providing a place for you. Those days when you wake up and realize your whole world, your whole life has been turned upside down and you just don't know what to do or how to even get started again, Jesus is there with you. And not only that, he is not only there here today with you, but he has already also gone ahead of you into all your tomorrows, preparing places of rest and nourishment for you all along the way. Jesus has also gone ahead of you, not just to make your way, not just to show you the way, but indeed to be your way. And so, family, know this good news. Jesus, the one who is the way, is there with you. And you cannot go anywhere that he has not already gone on your behalf. Wherever you find yourself, he is there. And Friends, he is here. He is here, welcoming you, inviting you, offering you the promise of his rest. The one who is the way, the truth, and the life is here with you, calling you to himself and assuring you what you already have in him. And so, family, the question for us is simple. He's here calling and inviting us into his rest. Will you join him? Will we join him on the way? The very same one who offered this assurance to his disciples on the eve of his departure all those years ago is still here offering us the very same. Will we join him along the way? Let's pray. Lord, for the promise that you give us, even in the midst of our uncertainties, the promise you gave to the disciples for that time when you would no longer be physically present with them, Lord, we can relate. And so we hold to this promise, Lord, and we thank you for your assurance that you are trustworthy and you are the way and the life. You are the truth. Lord, we have known you, we know you, and so we know the Father. You have given us everything in yourself. For that, we give you thanks this morning. Lord, give us strong faith to trust in this each day and every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.